Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
It's week 3 in our series that's taking us right up to Christmas, His Story. Now, today's topic in the His Story series is faith at work. And so what we have today is 5 folks who are a part of this congregation and have been for quite a bit of time. They're going to come up on stage, and I'm going to interview them in a panel-type format, and you're going to hear how it is, what's it like to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, while being a business owner. So come on forward, you 5. Make your way. And while they make their way on up, and I'll have them introduce themselves in a minute, in spite of the very quiet nature of what's going right here, these people are happy you're coming up, and they will make that known. There's steps over here if you need them. Yeah, just over here. Yeah. Yeah, how do we get, it's an obstacle. My goodness, you got to be like a ninja warrior to get on stage. Right here. Come on, I got a hand for you. Can you?
Just because I don't want to like.
Yeah, you got heels on. I'm glad I left my heels at home today. So, there we go. There it is. So while they're making their way, like ninja warriors on the stage, I just want to tell you that so far I think the 2 weeks that we've done have been pretty powerful. Last week Rod shared a powerful story, and we saw a video of a couple, part of this church, might be seated right over there, who shared the story of, you know, their marriage is broken and God's bringing it back together. And then that first week we saw 4 videos of how God has changed the lives of people right here. And if you haven't seen those 5 videos or heard the teachings around them, go to our website. Minimally watch the 5 videos if you haven't seen them. I guarantee you, you'll be encouraged. I've already seen these videos like 100 times, and every time I'm crying, and I'm not a crying kind of guy. It's just awesome. You're going to want to check them out because it's cool. So today, it's time for God in Business. You folks over here are going to have to stare at the back of my bald head. And I'm not sorry because some say that's the best feature over there. So, God in Business. Now, I could jump right in, and just give me a second, okay? I'm kind of warming up here. Here's a verse that applies to business, but it applies to everybody who is breathing and calls themselves a follower of Christ. It's Colossians 3:17. Make a note of this. It's a good theme verse for anyone in business, and it's a good theme verse for anyone who's a follower of Christ. It says, whatever you do, somebody say, whatever. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And giving thanks to God the Father through him, whatever you do, business people, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We could talk biblically about God in business. And when I say biblically, I mean I could give you stories of people in business. I could talk to you about the Apostle Paul, who was a businessman. Did you know this? Did anybody know what the Apostle Paul did? Yeah, he made tents. He had a tent-making business. And we could talk about, biblically, how, looking at his story, how God and business collided. We could talk to you about Lydia, another godly woman in business. She was a seller of purple clothing, which was a high-end retail store, kind of like, you know, well beyond Macy's, right? It was really expensive stuff. She had some dough. We could talk about her. We could talk about Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who collectively were in business together as what? Anybody know? They had a fishing business. I could tell you these stories, but instead what I want to do is I want to encourage you to look them up. I could tell you about Luke, who was a private practice physician. Or we could talk about Jesus. He had a business too. Did you know Jesus was a businessman? What did he do? He was a carpenter. Your assignment is to go to the text this week. I've just given you something to look at in your Bible this week. Look up those stories of people in business. Today we're going to get at the Bible concept of business in a different way. It's going to have a little flesh on it, and it's going to have these people talking about what it is to be a Christian in business. Chandler, who in the world are you, and what type of business do you own?
I'm Chandler Bishop. I own Bishop Construction. We do commercial and residential construction, and then I also own Bishop Management. And we do plowing, mowing, commercial services for businesses, exterior services.
And how long have you owned these businesses?
16 years-ish.
16 years. Now, I told him, Chandler looks like he's about 12, right? So you started business when you were, like, in the womb? Is that how it works?
About 4. About 4. I didn't shave on purpose today, so make myself a little older.
You're in your mid-30s, so he looks young, but he's been in this for 16 years, right? How about you, Laura? Who are you?
My name is Laura Pinzotti, and my husband Jeff and I own Klammer Greenhouse, and we ship flowers throughout the Midwest.
And you gave me a hard time yesterday because I said Chandler looked young, but not you, but you also look very young. How long have you been in business?
I've been in the greenhouse business for 16, 17 years, but we've owned for several years now.
Okay, awesome. So also when you were four, you started.
Right.
All right. Brent.
My name is Brent Rush, and my brothers and I own Leaders RPM and Indian Motorcycle of Kalamazoo.
All right. How many years?
38.
Wow. Family business.
Family business.
All right. CJ.
Hi, I'm Crystal Witteveen, and I own a salon in my home.
All right. That's awesome. And you, sir, Ben?
Ben Ingbers. I'm a partner with my dad in Ingbers Masonry, and I've probably been doing it full-time for 15 years.
All right. And CJ, I forgot to ask you, how many years have you owned your salon? Mm-hmm. You cut hair. Don't do math. That's good enough. Do you know how many years? I'm sorry to make you count.
I think I've been working from home for six.
6 years in business there. Thank you. While you're talking, can you tell us what does it mean for you to be a follower of Christ owning your business?
For me, God built me to do hair.
Hmm.
Like, I've wanted to do this ever since I was little. You know, and it's a really good way for me to just love on people and take good care of people.
Mm-hmm.
I get to have a lot of very intimate conversations with people. And I can physically make you pretty, cutting your hair and spraying it. But
me?
Yes. Yeah. But it makes me so happy when people feel beautiful when they leave. They're not just pretty, they're beautiful. Like their soul has been taken care of too when they leave.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, that's definitely the hand of the Lord in there. Ben, what does it mean for you to be a Christian Mason?
I think the big thing for me is, because I'm a little bit different than some of these guys in that I don't have employees, but just a lot of interaction with other people at work, not only other contractors, but with homeowners and different things like that. So I just think for me, it's about relationship. It's about spending time actually caring about what other people's lives are like and what's going on. And it's really easy to get focused into what my task is for the day and then just kind of block everything out. But knowing that there's other people there, there's other lives that are going on and trying to invest in that and be in relationship with those people too.
Yeah. What about you, Laura? What does it mean for you to be a Christian business owner?
Both Jeff and I, when we went to college, we did not pursue business or anything in horticulture or greenhouses. And God, through different ways, very clearly led us to the greenhouse business. So I think to be a Christian and own this business, I feel like because God used his hand to put us there, that he has a purpose for us there. So we definitely work really hard at keeping our eyes open to what larger, bigger purpose God might have for us there. And also to have the attributes of, I think God would desire for a place of work to have joy and peace and kindness and patience where we work. So that's to me what it means to be a Christian greenhouse owner at this point.
Sweet. Chandler, let me throw a different question past you. How has your faith in Christ impacted the way you do business?
I think part of it is with my employees and stuff like that, trying to show them what God is like and trying to show them how I'm affected by God being in my life, hoping that it reflects on them as well.
Cool. Brent, same question. How has your faith impacted the way you do business?
It's as far as this operating with integrity and, you know, a lot of times in business, it seems like it's the general culture is whatever you can get away with. And it's doing what God wants us to do, even when maybe somebody isn't going to find out, or It's just doing the right thing and caring for people, whether it's employees or customers or other business relationships.
Yeah. And CJ, you mentioned earlier that you make people beautiful. That's obviously answering the question, how does faith impact? How else does faith impact you as a business owner? And if you want to hit the pause button, I can ask Ben the question if you'd like.
We'll ask Ben for
a last night when we were practicing, you were talking about, and I even made a joke of this, you're like, people will spill the beans to their, talk about that, remember that?
Oh, yeah, just people really, there's something about a stylist chair, people will just tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm privy to a lot of information.
Yeah. Is there any embarrassing stories from somebody in here you'd like to share? Just kidding. Keep going. That's a ministry. Keep going.
No, but so, you know, you have people that are stressed out about being a mom or a wife or stressed out about work, and it's okay. Like, it's acceptable. And I have plenty of issues that I can relate to people with. You know, and then you have friends. You know, my clients have become my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be talking to people, and they'll be stressed out about either finances or what's going on in their life. And you just kind of hear that whisper, this one's on you.
Yeah.
And to be able to take that burden of having to pay for it off of the table every now and again is great. It's mm-hmm. just one of the ways that I get to bless my people.
Yeah. No, again, last night you were talking about, here's a question that you got to last night when we were practicing.
Okay.
You at one point struggled with seeing how cutting hair could be a ministry. Do you remember talking about that?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, when I first started doing hair, I'd talk about how much I loved doing it. Oh, my gosh, this is what I was built to do. I love doing this. And people would, I've actually had people say, great. So then what's your ministry? And I was like, oh my gosh, this can't be my ministry because it's just some superficial thing where you're telling people what's wrong with them all day long. Oh, your hair's not right here or your face isn't right there. And you get to hear those lies like, oh, maybe I am just, this isn't a ministry. This is just some superficial fun thing that I get to do. And I've had a lot of women and men tell me, no, this is definitely your ministry.
Yeah.
Like, you are taking care of heads and hearts and homes.
Hmm.
And, like, just because it's not tied up in the stereotypical bow that you're often told Christianity should look like, what your ministry should look like, doesn't mean that it's not effective and it's not, that you're not doing it for God.
Yeah. So I'm going to interrupt the panel discussion. That's powerful because many of you think the thing you're doing ain't ministry. And there's a wrong thinking that says, you know, for me to really minister unto the Lord, I got to go to seminary, or I got to play worship, or I got to do that thing, or I got to... And you're looking to others' ministry, thinking that's real ministry, and it downplays your own ministry. That's just not true. You know, as we talk about becoming a seed, a root, and a tree in your faith, a tree-level disciple is a disciple who knows that where they are at is their ministry. So it doesn't matter if you're a teacher or a doctor, a janitor, a maintenance person. Where you are is your mission field. So that's a good word for us. So get your friendly finger out, turn to your neighbor and say, where you are is your mission field. Thank you for that. I'm going to come back to you in a minute, Ben, and ask you in a second, what is it, how has faith impacted your business? But before that, I think, you know, CJ, you've given us a great question. I'm going to ask anybody else, did anybody else struggle with seeing your current profession as a ministry?
When I went to college, so I grew up in the greenhouse business. My parents built it 35 years ago or so. And when I went to college, I purposefully chose something that wasn't greenhouse or business. I got a degree in psychology, and I wanted to get my master's in social work. And I think at that time in my life, I felt like in order to use my passion and to serve God, the only way I'd be able to do that is to have a career that looked exactly like service to God. And God had a totally different path for me, and it was only by his hand that brought me out to the greenhouses. And Jeff has a similar story, a little bit different, but the same kind of thing, where he started out in engineering, and God definitely had different plans for him, too. And I think just knowing that we felt so clearly that he put us there, that made me just assured of the purpose that he has in what we do, and it doesn't have to always look exactly how we think it's going to look. Where God leads us, we'll find purpose, and that is probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned in going into this business.
Wow, hang on. Did y'all hear that? Say that again. That was powerful. Hang on. Elbow your neighbor and say, listen to this. This is a good line. Say it again.
Wherever God leads us is where we will find purpose.
Yeah.
I think that's what I said.
Yeah, I think you said where he places us is where we find purpose.
He places us, we'll find purpose.
That's great. That's a good line. So where God has placed you is your purpose. So let me just say, unless you're living in overt crazy sin, which sometimes happens to us, right? Sometimes our sinfulness gets in the way. If you're walking with the Lord and you're not being crazy, stupid, sinful, your place is your purpose, according to Laura Pinzotti. Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Your place is your purpose. Now, I can't let that go. That's one of them awkward church claps. So if you don't feel like clapping, at least help these people who want to clap so that's not awkward church clap. She said, where your place is, that's your purpose. Good word. Ben, how has your faith impacted your running of your business?
I think the main thing for me is, and this kind of goes beyond, because like I said, more of how I see my faith in action at work is similar to how I see my faith in action outside of work, which is relationships. And we actually did a book study years ago in a small group where it just talked about how you're never going to truly impact somebody with like a big service or a one-time event. Like, you need to invest in people. So especially in the construction field, I feel like listening to other people's stories, listening to what people are going through or stuff with their kids or families or whatever, and just interacting in a way that they think that, like I, and I do, care about what's going on, following up. If I talk to somebody about something that's going on in their lives, following up with them, seeing that I actually do care about what's going on, to me, that's what I'm doing. Doesn't matter what job I'm on or what I'm doing, there's always going to be people that are there that, you know, I try to listen to the Holy Spirit in terms of who needs what and how I can be helpful. And there's a balance with that because, you know, there's a couple months ago I was working with a guy and break went from 15 minutes to an hour and a half on talking church stuff and why he hates church and that kind of stuff. And, like, that's hard because there's an hour and a half of stuff I should have been doing from a work perspective. But at the same time, I feel like those conversations are important and need to take place, and that's why I'm there.
Awesome.
So.
Did you charge him for those hours?
Just kidding.
Chandler, you kind of got at this question a little bit when you were talking about caring for your employees. So more along the question of how does faith impact the way you run business, could you talk more about how you care for your employees?
A lot of it is, and sometimes I kind of think back to myself, maybe I helped them a little too much. just certain things where they're having a hardship, either at home or financially or something like that. Quite a few of them I've helped out with bills or a quick loan or something like that to pay back. You know, obviously for them, it's some of them, especially being in the construction industry, it's hard for those types of people to go and get a loan and stuff like that. So to be able to say, hey, I'm going to help you out, here's some money, no questions asked, you know, we'll just pay it back as you can pay it back kind of thing.
Yeah.
I had an employee once that couldn't afford stuff for Christmas, and I got him a Christmas tree, brought it over to his house, and dropped it off, and handed him a check for $1,000 to go and get presents for his kids.
That's awesome. So I've known you, you can clap for that. Some people say, clap good for that, that's good. I've known you since 1996, and I know that your business practices are an inconvenience to you once in a while.
There.
Because of your faith. And I just want to say in front of these people, that's a good job, man. Way to go. Thank you for that. Brent, can you remember a time when business was very difficult? And if so, how did the Lord and your faith sustain you in that really icky time?
There have been multiple times.
All right.
Probably most notably the year or two leading up to the economic downturn of, so between 2006 and 2008, it was a very rough period of time. We had a big expansion project, and we were getting used to the costs that come with that. And
can I interrupt real quick? So before you get to the icky times, I think you told me that you heard the voice of the Lord to say, go ahead and build this project, is right?
Did. So waited for 7 years.
And so you heard the Lord say, build this.
Yep.
And you built it, being obedient to the Lord. And what happened?
It got really, really slow. I mean, things slowed down, and then, you know, the economic indicators were, the housing bubble was getting ready to burst, and then all the stuff with the financial industry, and it was to the point where I felt like I was standing on the edge of a cliff, and I'm looking down, and I can't see what's down below me, and the ground is just eroding from underneath my feet. And if one more piece of earth gives way, the whole thing is going to collapse, no. And me with it.
Have you ever felt that way? I mean, maybe not in business, but have you ever felt like you're on a cliff looking down and the ground is giving way and you don't know if you can handle one more thing? I've felt that way. Have you felt that way before? So, Brent, you're speaking to the heart of many people in the room. What happened? What'd you do? Where'd your faith come in?
Well, part of it was just through life circumstances leading up to that point with experiencing death and that, you know, I'm not taking any of this with me, right? None of us are, and none of this is really mine anyways. The business has all come from the Lord, and if he decides that now is the time that it all ends and we close up shop and we go away, then it'll be all right. I mean, he'll provide, it'll be fine, but yeah. He has always come through, and just holding on loosely and saying, Lord, this, you know, you've got this, and whatever you give me, I'll be a good steward of, and mm-hmm. and just do our best.
Okay. And so, did you fall off the cliff?
Did not.
What happened?
We, through all of that period of time, I mean, in our industry, shops were closing up left and right all over the country. I mean, it was an awful time for the boating industry and for the power sports industry, and people don't need that stuff, right? If you don't have any money, you're not going to go out and buy toys. And
yeah.
But the Lord kept providing. I mean, every day we got just enough to keep the lights on, and we didn't let any employees go, and he just kept providing and was able to sustain us.
And how would you define business today?
Thriving.
Thriving. Okay, so this is a panel of business people, so I hope if you're in business, you're encouraged in your faith. But there's truths here that transcend business. He just said life was miserable, yet his understanding of God kept him in the game long enough for God to redeem that which he promised way back when, and what God promised but seemed like would never come true actually came true. And so his story is your story. That's a good word. Thank you for that, Brent. If I was sitting out there, I'd clap for that. The other four, is there a hurdle or another experience, a time like Brent when things were difficult, anything where your faith had to sustain you?
Kind of reflecting what Brent said, back when he had the recession and everything, there was a lot of construction companies or just individuals that kind of went out of business, moved out of Michigan, went and got a different job. And for us to sustain through the recession, and we had to make some serious choices of what we were going to try and do to try and sustain business. And part of that is hard to give up the control and have faith in God that you will sustain. And I know one of the things that came up with me, it was like, do I choose my life, my house, all that kind of stuff personally, or do I choose the business? And I lost my house in 08 because of the recession and not having work and stuff like that. But kind of back what Brent said, you just kind of have that faith and try to push through, and then it gets over with, and you kind of look back and, man, how did that even happen? How did I get through? And there's really no other thing to say besides God help push through and provide.
That's a good word. God helped you push through. And so you once were in the thick of it. You lost your house. But that's not the case today. So what feels like the end of the world in a God-type his story perspective, it isn't the end of the world.
Right. I mean, to lose something like that, I'm sure there's people in here that have lost things like that financially. It's crushing.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes you down for sure.
It did, sure. Laura, you said you had a hurdle of a different kind in your business.
So I work with my husband. We own the business together, and he's not the hurdle itself. No worries about that. But I think anytime you work with somebody day in and day out, and you also live with that person, there is inevitably conflict. And it's not generally enormous conflict, but it just is, you know, that daily kind of stuff that happens. And when you're in an intense situation or when it's really busy in the spring, you know, you can be short with each other or things can come up. And so we learned early on that we needed to be quick to apologize and quick to forgive.
I'm going to interrupt you again. Don't forget what you're saying.
Okay, I'll try not to.
Because she's talking about good business practice and a hurdle working with her husband. She's also about ready to give good marriage advice. Pay attention. Take it away.
So we're quick to apologize and quick to forgive, and we're quick to show grace to each other, I think. And
Say that again. That was beautiful. That was awesome. Quick to forgive. I'm interrupting you, I know, but it's too good not to repeat.
Quick to apologize, which is important. You can't just forgive, you got to apologize as well. We're quick to forgive, and then we show a lot of grace towards each other. And a lot of times, we just give each other the benefit of the doubt. We might have done something wrong, but we know that we love each other, and sometimes just have to let things go. And I think our faith has had an impact on that, because without knowing the grace of Jesus, I don't know if we would have had the perfect model for how to sustain a relationship like that. And our relationship is not perfect, but I think it's very joyful and very peaceful because we use a lot of grace.
Yeah, thank you. That was a good word. Ben, sometimes the common business practice is this, but your biblical understandings of integrity and honesty are in opposition. Have you ever experienced a case, and feel free to say no if you haven't, but have you ever experienced a time when your faith and the business practices that comes from that have impacted common business practice and you have been at a place of, what do I do?
I would say a little bit kind of the same thing when the economy kind of went bad. There was a bunch of situations where work was slow, and we kind of had these situations where a house we normally would have worked on for a person we would have worked on, they're like, well, we got a price from these people to do it, and it's super low. And you knew that they were going to come in and just do it fast, do it, you know, not as well as what we would like to do it. And you kind of had that decision at that point to say, are we going to go and match the price and then do a worse job type of thing? Or in some of those situations, we did have to match the price because you got to keep working. But at the same time, at that point, it's like, okay, we're still going to try to stick to the quality of work that we do. We're not going to make as much money. But again, back to the trusting that God's going to provide enough to get through that. So that's a big thing in our line of work is it's just my dad and I. So we're the ones doing the work. So there's we care about what the product ends up looking like, where sometimes it's a crew of guys that are just, hey, you got 2 days to get this thing done, you know. So there's that constant, because even with people that we work for, there's, hey, timelines, all this kind of stuff, and there's the balance between, okay, what matters most. In the end, we want what we do to look well and to reflect that, and that's not always the case in our line of work.
So what you were saying is you could have done less of a quality because the price was less, but you basically lived out Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. That's awesome. CJ, the question was, any time your business practice out of your faith conflict with normal business practice in your world?
Yeah.
give us a story if you got one.
I've just never known how to play the corporate game or the hardcore business game. I must just be too emotionally attached to my job. So, you know, oftentimes I find myself more concerned about the heart than the bottom line.
Okay.
You know, I...
Say that again. More concerned about the...
I'm more concerned about the heart than the bottom line.
That's wonderfully weird of you. Because it's not normal. Keep going. That's great.
Was there a specific story you were looking for?
No, that's good. And maybe that's it. I totally interrupted your train of thought. Were you done? You're more concerned about the heart than the bottom line?
Overall, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then I got one more question here. It's to you, Brent. What's the goal of Leaders RPM as a business?
To advance God's kingdom.
No, I ask, what's the goal of Leaders RPM? You sell boats and ATVs. What's the goal there, Brent?
That ultimately, that is the goal. I mean, obviously, we have to provide a good placement.
What did you say a second ago? What is the goal?
To advance God's kingdom.
So you're telling us that even though you're in the business of selling boats and ATVs and such, your goal isn't really to sell boats and ATVs. Your goal is to
advance the kingdom.
How in the world do you advance the kingdom selling boats and ATVs? And this is a big question because you might be asking the question, how do I advance God's kingdom where I'm at? Remember Laura said earlier, your place is your purpose? So end for us, Brent, by giving us wisdom. How is doing what you do advancing the kingdom?
Well, it's definitely not one thing, obviously, but I mean, part of, you know, there is a balance between, obviously, we have to make money. We need to provide a place of good employment. We need to serve our customers and that sort of thing. But, I mean, for us, we do support a lot of ministries in Kalamazoo. I mean, it's just what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think part of it, too, like even in the economic downturn when, you know, a lot of the ministries were struggling in town and we felt we had to ramp it up even more as far as our giving.
Wow.
So that's what we do.
And so, you know, I'm jokingly putting him on the spot for your sake. You know, I've known Brent forever as well. I think Brent knew me when I had hair. Is this true? Yeah, a long time ago. I know that for him, business has also been a bit inconvenient because of his faith, because he believes his role in life is to advance God's kingdom through the place God has put him in. So that's good. Thank you for that. So, are you thankful that you heard their stories?
Yeah.
Here's what I'd love for you to do. They get the privilege of staying for two services, which they normally don't do. I would like for you all to stand up. And as I like to say, pretend you're a Jedi Knight. And if that's too geeky for you, ignore that. But extend your hands over them like Moses did over the people in the Old Testament while we pray the blessings of the Lord on them. And as I pray, please audibly agree with my prayers. Lord, we are thankful for these folks. We're thankful that they love you, serve you, and want to bring you through the world through their particular business. We're thankful for that, aren't we, church? So, Lord, we pray that all of their businesses would flourish. Do you agree, church? So we pray abundance over each business represented here. Do you agree? Somebody say, we pray abundance. Somebody say, in the name of Jesus. Lord, may they be blessed. Yes, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for that. May they truly be blessed. And I ask, Lord, that the words that they've shared would instill an inspiration in many this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.